You good? How's everybody today? So, it's a brand new year, folks, and I hope all of you had a great holiday season. You know, I know everyone here has a lot of questions about what's next for me and Kathy and everybody else, but here's the good news. I've got plenty of time to figure it out. One thing is for sure is that, just like the first term, this one has 1,460 days. So the issue here is I look forward to answering your questions about life after my retirement when it gets closer to later this year. In the meantime, there's lots I'd like to talk about today and accomplish over the next 11 months of this legislative session. Today, I'll lay out my agenda for 2026 and the work to get done for the people of Wisconsin this year. So let's get started. We begin 2026 after a year of historic and bipartisan wins for the people of our state, with readily available resources to help us continue moving Wisconsin forward. Wisconsin closed the last fiscal year with nearly $4 billion in our state's checking account and $2 billion in our rainy day fund. I also understand from the Department of Revenue that new projections will soon be released showing state revenue could be as much as $1 billion above previous estimates. So let's build upon last year's important work and successes. While every year is a year of the kid for me, 2025 was the official year of the kid. The very first thing we did in the year of the kid was launch our new Wisconsin Office for Violence Protection to keep our kids, families, and communities safe. This office is now accepting applications for $10 million that I directed, which will soon be going out the door into the hand of folks to help stop violence in our communities. Together, we also delivered on a bipartisan pro-kid budget that invested in our kids at every age, $1.4 billion in spendable revenue for our schools, and the largest investment in our UW system in 20 years. In the budget, we continued our work to cut taxes on working families, fix the darn roads, ensure access to health care in rural communities, ensure folks have clean and safe drinking water straight from the tap, support our farmers and our state's most critical industries, and lots more. Folks, the year of the kid was all about supporting Wisconsin kids and the working families who raise them. And one of the biggest wins for Wisconsin in 2025 was the work that we did together with childcare. Any budget that didn't include direct payments to childcare providers was a non-starter for me. It was a top priority for me to get that done in negotiation with Republican leaders. So our pro-kid budget secured $360 million to support child care industry and help lower costs for families. A third of that investment provided direct payments to providers, helping care for nearly 170,000 kids. We also created our state's first ever state-funded child care program called Get Kids Ready, which we're launching today to provide direct payments to providers to get four-year-olds ready for school. This was a critical part of our child care accomplishments in the budget. Providers can begin applying today to get enrolled for the 26-27 school year at no cost to families. Our budget was a win for Wisconsin kids, families, communities, and our state's future, but there's no denying the final budget looked a bit different than the one I proposed. Tomorrow, in a letter to members of the legislature, I'll lay out my 2026 agenda and highlight key priorities I'd like us to accomplish before the end of the legislative session later this year. And there are areas where we can find common ground for bipartisan support. A top priority for us in 2026 must be addressing rising costs, whether it's prescriptions for insulin, other daily out-of-pocket costs, or the skyrocketing price of healthcare coverage. Things are simply not affordable, and paychecks aren't going as far as they used to. It's January in Wisconsin, so let's start with property taxes. Look, I get it. Republicans want to blame my 400-year veto on property taxes going up. The problem with that is Wisconsinites were going to referendum before increasing the numbers of years, long before I became governor. And the question would be why? Because of a decade of Republicans consistently failing to meaningfully invest in our kids in K-12 schools. That has consequences, folks, including forcing Wisconsinites to raise their own property taxes so their local school can keep the doors open. I fought hard to start reversing this trend, and we've made historic investments, believe me. But it still has been billions less than what schools needed and what I requested. And now schools are going to referendum with even more record numbers. It's why I'm asking the legislature to approve $1.3 billion in property tax relief to prevent property tax increases for average Wisconsin homeowners and help lower property taxes for working families, veterans, and seniors across our state. Under this proposal, we can make sure the average homeowner will not see a property tax increase, period. Republican leaders declined to make property tax relief part of our negotiations in the last budget, insisting on focusing on income tax cuts instead. So I urge the legislature to right this wrong from the recent state budget and pass my plan for over $1 billion in property tax relief to working families, seniors, veterans, and many others across our state. Also wanted the legislature to address the fact that despite having bipartisan agreement and commitment to increase special education reimbursement rate to 42%, available state funding will not cover that percentage for our kids and our schools. This has to be fixed before the legislature goes home this year. I'm calling on the legislature to invest the necessary funding to ensure that our agreed upon percentages for special education funding of 42% in this year and 45% in 26-27 are met, or better yet, to make the appropriation sum sufficient as I had repeatedly proposed. There's more we can do and should do to give Wisconsinites a little breathing room in their household budgets by helping lower everyday out-of-pocket costs. The legislature should reconsider adopting my proposal to exempt basic family needs like diapers, incontinence products, over-the-counter medication, toothpaste, breast pumps, and so on from sales tax. We also know that because Republicans in Congress have failed to extend tax credits under the Affordable Care Act, many Wisconsinites this year will see the cost of health care coverage go up by thousands of dollars. Wisconsin can't afford to pick up the whole tab to fix this issue, but we should still be doing everything we can to help make sure Wisconsinites can get the health care they need. I'm also asking the legislature to approve a plan to lower costs for prescriptions and medications and crack down on price gouging and health insurers. My Less for Rx plan in the last budget and hopefully this budget will lower costs for life-saving prescription drugs and insulin. We capped insulin copays at $35 and eliminate the sales tax on over-the-counter medications to save Wisconsinites $70 million over the next 2 years alone. I know there's bipartisan support for tackling prescription drug prices and price gouging. I'll work with any legislator who wants to get this done. A supermajority of the legislature and I also agree that new moms should get Medicaid coverage for 12 months instead of just a lousy 60 days. I'm hoping 2026 will be the year the speaker finally decides to let that bill make it to my desk. I also hear from folks who feel like they're not getting a fair shake from their health care coverage. Claims are denied too often. It's often hard to get a straight explanation why. People have to wait or drive 3 hours and days to get the care that they need. Medical costs and bills, especially when they aren't covered, by insurance are straining household budgets, especially seniors. I'm asking the legislature to consider passing common sense ideas like auditing insurance companies for denying claims at high rates, holding insurers accountable so Wisconsinites get health insurance coverage they pay for, cracking down on prior authorizations that require doctors to get permission before they prescribe the care that they know you need. I also think we should create new standards to expand the healthcare services and procedures that insurance companies are required to cover. 2026, let's make sure Wisconsinites' insurance will cover more healthcare and services and procedures with no delays, no hassles, and no questions asked. You know, I'm also optimistic that this year we'll be able to address several critical priorities that went unaddressed in the final 25-27 state budget that the legislature ultimately sent to my desk. I'm asking the legislature to approve the necessary funding to reopen two homeless veteran facilities in Green Bay and Chippewa Falls, which was removed from the biennial budget. Additionally, we all know chaos and recklessness in Washington are hitting Wisconsin farmers and producers hard. That's why I'm asking Republicans to provide $1 million each year in additional one-time funding for the Wisconsin Initiative for Agricultural Exports. We must do more at the state level to help increase exports for our dairy, meat, and crops, and help farmers and producers expand into new markets. I also want the Republicans to approve funding I requested to help address domestic and intimate partner violence in the state and support crime victims and survivors. Last year, 99 domestic violence victims were murdered in Wisconsin. That is outrageous. I asked the legislature last year to approve $66 million to help fill the VOCA federal funding gap, but it was removed from by Republican lawmakers during the process. I am urging the legislature to make it a priority to get this done in 2026 so we can ensure victims and survivors receive the support they need and deserve. My administration has also spent the last several months in conversation with Republican lawmakers to reach a compromise that will ensure the $125 million we approved more than 2 years ago now to fight PFAS statewide will actually finally be released and get out the door to folks across our state who need it. I'm optimistic that we may soon have a proposal that members of the legislature on both sides of the aisle can support. Let's get this done so that we can make this another bipartisan win for the people of Wisconsin. And if we can, I'm confident we can do the same thing to renew the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program before it expires at the end of this fiscal year. I'm also asking the legislature to take up proposals, many of which already are moving through the legislative process, including efforts to cut red tape to help speed up affordable housing projects, restore resources to expedite license and credential processing, and eliminate restrictions to enable retired and experienced workers to rejoin our state's workforce. It's also critically important for the legislature to provide and approve the resources my administration needs to keep food share payments the errors lower and save Wisconsin taxpayers from hundreds of millions in future costs, among other key priorities. Failing to do so, it will cost Wisconsin taxpayers over $200 million every year on top of the more than $284 million it will cost in future budgets. The sooner the legislature invests in food share quality control efforts, the more time DHS has to keep down our food share error rate and save Wisconsin taxpayers millions of dollars. Finally, perhaps one of the areas that was most disappointing in the budget that was sent to my desk was the absence of a comprehensive plan to close Green Bay Correctional Institution. Today, it's a full year, I believe, after I first introduced my plan to reform our state's correctional institutions My plan remains the safest, quickest, and cheapest option. It also remains the only comprehensive plan in existence. Republican lawmakers still have not offered an alternative plan of their own, except closing GBCI to be closed by 2029, which is what my plan proposed, but without any plan actually achieving that important goal. In October, the State Building Commission released the $18 million I approved in the budget to enable DOC to continue its work towards implementing a comprehensive plan for corrections reform. So here's the simple reality. If there's no additional action taken yet this session, then once that $15 million in planning dollars is exhausted, work on designing and building DOC facility projects will stop. The cost of these projects will only go up, taxpayers will only pay more, and it will only further delay facility building projects and ultimately the closing of GBCI. We have to get this across the finish line. I encourage the legislature to continue to work with my administration to build consensus on enumerating all the necessary building projects, making statutory changes and policy reforms to fully realize the facility realignment in the DOC. So, folks, we have proven that despite these divisive times, we still believe in working together to get the good things done for the people that we serve. I'm hopeful that the legislature is ready to get back to work, continue working together, spend the next 11 months of the legislation session building upon the bipartisan successes we had last year. We can continue doing the right thing for the people of our state, and I'm looking forward to getting good things done for Wisconsin this year. Now with that, I'd be glad to answer your questions.
Governor, would you have any additional details on the property tax relief that you're talking about? What would that kind of look like, and how does that play into this topic of referendums in schools?
Yeah, and there's probably various ways of making it done. And I'm not necessarily saying it has to be done this way or that way. All I know is that if we don't do something, we will be in a world of hurt and the property taxes will continue to grow. So whether we use it in a way that we have in the past or somebody has a really good idea, we have the resources available. We have to make sure that they're used in an appropriate way. So I'm open for some different ways of doing things if that's possible.
Senator?
Yes, go ahead.
So AI continues to be an issue that's in front of the legislature, it's in front of the federal government, it's in front of businesses. How can Wisconsin and your administration start using AI, and are the agencies prepared for it? Do they have the infrastructure? Do they have the technology to use it?
Yeah, they already are using it to some extent. We have more folks that are pretty savvy in this world that are doing probably more than I'm personally doing, but I agree that it is a thing. It's going to be very important. What we're trying to do is make sure that our higher education institutions, in particular UW-Madison, but other campuses too, are on top of things and making sure that we are also on top of things. I believe that the staff that I have presently are using it, wildly, widely, and we're in a pretty good shape. But it is important, and we can talk about it in terms of the issues around making sure that it's being used in a good way to make sure that we're continue having a good economy in the state of Wisconsin. We need to stay on top of it. We have to make sure that we're not having a blind eye to it. And I think we're in a good shape. I'm really excited that the University of Wisconsin system is taking this on, as well as the Technical College. Yes?
Governor, so if I heard right, you said we've got potentially $1 billion more in revenue growth.
Yes.
Looking at my notes real quick, we were projected to have $655 million for a structural balance.
Yeah.
So that's talking $1.7 billion total. you want 1.3 billion to go to property tax relief,
yeah,
but you're not committed to how it would be spent, or is it like, are you trying to buy down the levies? Like, what's the basic approach?
Yeah, buying down the levy.
Governor, would that 1.3 billion be needed if you went to had the 400-year veto?
Would it?
Would this property tax proposal, would you need this if you went to pad the 400-year veto?
Oh, that's, I never believed that that, there, before that 400-year veto, we were going to referendum all the time. So they can use that as an excuse if they want to. Let's just get this done. I don't believe that it has anything to do with it. Yes.
Talk about affordability issues. Yeah. Speaker Boss floating the idea of no tax on tips or overtime pay. Is that something you could buy into?
Possibly, but let's look at that in a more universal way. Yeah, I'm willing to take a look at that, but we're also making sure that it's not just that. Yes.
What are the latest with discussions with Republican leaders on keeping the SNAP error rate down?
Yeah, we're involved with conversations about it. We just need to come to some conclusions so that we can keep that error rate down, so that we're not going forward going to be having significant amount of money set aside for that. So I think we're in a good position as far as conversations. We just need to get a final bill. Yes.
Governor, are we seeing conversations at community level, a lot of protests about data centers coming into communities? Seeing proposals from both sides of the aisle on this. What do you think the state's role ought to be in regulating that activity here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's obviously a very important topic. I personally believe that we need to make sure that we're creating jobs for the future in the state of Wisconsin. That's all important, but we have to balance that with my belief that we have to keep climate change in check, and that includes environmental issues. I think that can happen. We got two sides arguing it at the same time, but I think if we keep open minds, we can keep the environmental piece in a good place. That's really important for me, but equally important is the fact that we have to have jobs for the future. And I know that's an issue all across the state of Wisconsin. And the good news is that people will continue talking about it, and I think we'll get it in a good place. Yes?
You're not on the ballot, but obviously the big midterm election, yeah, later this year. What is your advice to fellow Democrats about what they ought to be talking about? What issues should they be running on?
Yeah, it's hard for me to provide advice for some of my colleagues. They're doing what they feel is important. But it is around affordability. It is around having a strong economy. I think it's absolutely critical that we fund our schools appropriately. And you know what? I think it will help, no matter who's running for election, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, actually spending some time not getting out of town as early as possible. Let's do some things for the people of Wisconsin. I think it's bad politics to say, well, we're done in February, we're done in March, and we'll see you at the polls. That doesn't work. I don't think that's a good message. So we have the opportunity to do some good things. All the things I've talked about today, let's put them in the place. Let's think about it. Let's have some conversation around it. Let's have a bipartisan solution. I can tell you the last budget, was it my budget? Hell no, it wasn't even close to my budget, but it was a bipartisan budget, and we got things in there that we felt are really important, and I think the people of Wisconsin appreciated that. I also believe that maybe all these things can't be done before the end of February or March. Having people running for office and actually doing work, I think that can happen simultaneously. We need to get work done for the people of Wisconsin. Yes, ma'am.
Governor, do you plan on issuing any prison commutations in your final year of office?
We're looking at that.
Governor, the Lieutenant Governor today is proposing attempting to ban federal immigration arrests in public places like courthouses, schools. I'm curious, first, is that even possible from a state or your level? Is that something you're considering?
Well, it's not something, obviously, what you saw and are seeing across our country is very difficult to watch. Obviously, the president has different ways of approaching this. But I'm open to do whatever, but the bottom line is we have to trust the people of our states. And I'll use Minnesota as an example. Should the people in Minnesota or Minneapolis be part of that investigation? Hell yes. It's their thing. It's their person that was shot to death. And so I just think the idea that the federal government coming, I mean, it's no different than anything else. When the federal government comes in and talks about things in terms of you're going to do this or X, you know, at the state level, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, you're going to fight against that because you want to be part of that conversation. There's none of that going on. I think that's a huge mistake on the president. But at the end of the day, I'm hopeful that we're in a good place. I am, and I've said this publicly so many times, I could probably say it in my sleep, you know, our state will be destroyed economically if suddenly we decide anybody undocumented is going home or has to leave Wisconsin, has to leave their Wisconsin home. And you think about dairy farmers, you think about anything agriculture in the state of Wisconsin, it is absolutely, the majority of the work is done by people that are undocumented. So think about what our state will look like. I mean, whatever good things are happening right now in the state will automatically disappear if they start coming into Wisconsin and taking on undocumented folks. The folks that are doing work in our agriculture industry are our colleagues, our friends. They go to our schools. I've been in schools where 90% of the kids have Spanish-speaking backgrounds or more. And in the downtown and some small towns absolutely reflect that. That's Wisconsin. That is not just something you come in and decide, well, these people have to go home because why? I'm very concerned about that. And we keep an eye on it. We're following it across the state of Wisconsin. But our agricultural industry will come to an end if what's promised by the president happens. Yes.
Governor, the lieutenant governor is proposing to ban civil immigration enforcement actions in places like courthouses, hospitals, schools, daycares. Can the state ban that?
That, you know, we can take a look at that. But I think, you know, banning things will absolutely ramp up the actions of our folks in Washington, D.C. They don't tend to approach those things appropriately, and so we're very, very vigilant. I'm not sure that we have the ability to do what the lieutenant governor is doing or want to do, so we'll see. Yes.
Governor, is ICE welcome in Wisconsin?
I think we could handle it ourselves, frankly. I don't see a need for the federal government to be coming into our state and making decisions that we can make at the state level.
Governor, the State of the Tribes usually takes place in February. Are there any parts of your 2026 agenda that are specific asks by the tribes or specific for the tribes?
Yeah, we will continue to discuss that with them. There's been some changes in leadership on both sides, and so we're looking forward to that. If there's some things that we can accomplish, yes.
Governor,
Governor, going back to property taxes, what would you tell property owners who say essentially what's happened is you allow school districts to raise their property taxes, now you're proposing to have the state come back and backfill that money? Why not just allow those referendums to continue and let individual communities decide for themselves whether they want high property taxes?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that the state has a huge investment in our public schools, and if we can minimize what happens at the property tax level, we should do everything we can to take care of that. Yes.
One thing I did not hear you say, Governor, was any mention of PFAS. How disappointed are you?
Didn't mention PFAS.
I did talk about it, but I'm hopeful that we're going to be in a good place. There's been discussions with our staff, and I believe we'll be talking about it again this week.
Well, if I'm able to ask my question, how realistic is it to expect that anything can summon PFAS in the next 2 months?
I think it's real strong.
Why?
Because we've had lots of conversations with Republicans and Democrats in the legislature, and I think we're close to solving that issue and getting the money out the door.
Governor, you mentioned Minnesota. What's going on there with the allegations of fraud in the Trump administration? Do you have any concerns about Wisconsin's programs? Have you looked into any fraud allegations, or just double check to make sure we're okay? And then secondly, why not handle the SNAP rolls to double check? Why not give them that information to make sure there's no fraud going on?
Yeah, we are in a good place, as you may remember. 2019, something like that, things exploded here on that issue, and we made significant changes as it relates to child care and making that in a better place. And so we are, as compared to what happened in Minnesota, the money actually goes directly to the parents in this state. It goes directly it comes into their card, can only be used for child care, and where our error rates are real, real low. And so, and we have changed our, and it came back from 2019, we had a very similar thing around child care at that point in time. And we're in a much better place, and our error rates are significantly lower.
Do you have more specifics on how you would lower prescription drug prices?
Yeah, it's a matter of working with the health insurers to make that happen.
On expanding most part of Medicaid coverage, speakers historically opposed to that. Have you had conversations with him? And if so, what does that look like?
I'm sorry.
On postpartum Medicaid coverage, speakers historically been opposed to that.
No, we haven't talked about that. I mean, everybody but him wants to take care of it. So I'm hopeful that he'll say, okay, I give up. We'll see. Yes.
We've seen Republicans start cracking down on filming committee hearings over the last week in the wake of the WSI shutdown. Would you support efforts to either get WSI back up and running or even ways to just increase transparency here in the Capitol in the wake of the Public Affairs Network?
Yeah, we're open to options there, and hopefully we can get that resolved.
On that, Governor, would you support just giving Wisconsin I the money that's been allocated without matching funds?
Yeah, no. I think there has to be some skin in the game.
Governor, earlier this month, former Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan submitted you her resignation letter. When you filed that trial, do you think Judge Dugan did anything wrong now she handled that incident in her courtroom?
Well, apparently the folks that were on that made that decision felt that she did something wrong. It's hard to say. I mean, I wasn't there. I haven't made that effort to, because it went to court right away, and I didn't want to obviously play a role in influencing what was going on. But at least the people on the jury felt that she did something wrong. But I'm not in a position to say whether I agree with that or not.
But some of the narrative coming out of that was that law enforcement felt that courthouses were a safe place to enforce some ICE immigration and finding people who are not here in the country legally. Do you have a concern that courthouses will become a...
Yes, of course. I have concerns about the whole system, frankly. So yes, I have concerns about courthouses becoming like a safe place for ICE to come in and take people in.
What would that concern be?
A concern would be it would cause just, I think, chaos in a place that needs no more chaos than already exists. Yes.
Governor, you mentioned Green Bay Correctional Institute as an unfinished area of business from the budget. Has there been any movement on corrections? What can we expect to see?
I'm hopeful that we can get that resolved. I know there's been discussions right along. We had a good conversation at the building commission that, it puts us in a position to do some studying and get some information that we need going forward. But so yes, there have been discussions. Hopefully we can get this resolved. We have to. I mean, I don't know what we will do as a state if we don't. And I think everybody, Republicans and Democrats, know that. Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program. Sort of the funding for that has been stalled, but there is a pair of bills that would essentially create a new grant program for nonprofits serving homeless veterans. If that passed the assembly at the end of last year, if that made it to your desk, would you sign that or support that?
I haven't seen it, but whatever we can do to resolve that issue should have been resolved during the budget. So whether that... any of these things I talked about today, if something happens individually, great. If not, then we'll fight over it. But yes, we have to get that done. So if they come up with a plan that I feel confident is going to work, and I understand that that is happening, I'd be glad to sign it.
What is your ideal situation for funding those veterans' homes?
What
would your ideal situation be to make sure that those veterans' homes are funded?
Yeah, what we had in our last budget. Yes, sir.
Governor, this will be your last year in office. I don't know if you think about legacy, but is there something that you want to have done this year that would solidify your legacy or things that you wanted to accomplish?
A great question. Legacy has... like this much importance to me, frankly. We've worked hard for 7 years, and we're going to work hard. If I have anything today to talk about today, it's we have a year left, and it's not all about me. All the things that need to be addressed, many of them can be, and so I feel very strongly that what the legacy is just doing the right thing for people in Wisconsin. It's quite simple. My background is obviously public schools. I love to have a magic wand and make that happen. But there are many other things that are critically important. And so I don't want to say this is my legacy because I'm not into legacies. But what I am in all for is making sure we leave Wisconsin in a better place than what we had when I took office. Simple as that. Yes.
Timber, two more questions, guys.
Do you have thoughts about who in the Democratic primary could best build on the work that you've done? Do you plan to endorse?
No, not getting involved with that.
Do you have an overall price tag for all you're calling for today? Between $1.3 billion for schools, but what's the total price tag?
Yeah, I don't have a total. I'm laying out a whole bunch of things, obviously. Let's just get as many of those things done as possible. And so whether it's a $3 billion or a $1 billion, let's work together like we did last time and get something done. And that also means that it may cause people to work more than the end of February, end of March, April. I mean, those are all months. And I also know that you can work in the legislature, work on these things, and run for office at the same time. It can happen. So let's do it. Thanks.
Can you do one more quick follow-up to JR's question? Just up on the fraud, you haven't ordered anything new for DHS to look into child care based on what we've seen in Minnesota?
Yeah, we're making sure that we're doing everything we can. in the childcare world, we are in a good place, and because of what happened back in 2019 when the system went to hell, legislature and the governor at that time took the appropriate steps, and we have a really significant, and you can talk to the people in the childcare world. There's lots of people that come state people that are coming to their offices and their schools on a regular basis, and so there's lots of auditing going on. We're providing obviously more money. The money, a great share of the money goes directly to parents in the way of cards, so it can't be used for any other purpose than paying their bill with the provider. So I think we're in a good place. I think we're in a real good place there.
Thank you guys.
Thanks everybody. Enjoy.